We would like to tell stories about one particular element of contemporary microclimatic regime in two cities, Stuttgart and Fukuoka, and we want to introduce one way of reading microclimate plans in these cities, namely as hologram. A hologram is something different from binary. So unlike binary, in a hologram, two or more things can overlap simultaneously. In Stuttgart, the hologram can be seen in the simultaneous coexistence, let's say, between formal and informal regulation. And then in Fukuoka, the hologram is rather in the form of an overlapping of Western and Eastern knowledge, let's say, of feng shui in this case. So Stuttgart is like a castle, like a kettle, and then the city center is right here on the bottom of the kettle. And then in order to channel the wind, the municipality, the Stadtverwaltung say, oh, you need to conserve the area around the semi-valley, the Halbhöhenlage, and then create a plan for that. On 9 May 2011, there is a landowner. I don't know whether this is a male or female, but in the Entscheidung it was called Antragstellerin, so I assume that this is a lady. And she submitted an objection for a plan. She said, oh, this is an illegal plan because you make this plan without any consultation to me. And then she believed, I want to expand my house, basically, and it's quite small. There will be no climatic impact to the city. It's very small. And then 4 years later, almost 4 years, it's quite long, and then the court decided, the request is dismissed, it's rejected, and then there was a scientist attended the hearing and said like, oh, there were already few cold air routes, Kaltluftschneisen, in Stuttgart, which are already very vulnerable and very sensitive, and if you build something here, even though it's small, it will impact the whole wind circulation. And then the court explicitly mentioned that this is an informal instrument that has an exceptional meaning in planning process. I will not say that the semi-valley plan is entirely informal, because it has references and they are quite formal. Although, of course, if we think of planning process as something that occur not only in planning offices, in municipal halls, but also in everyday conversation, like what we're doing now, then it is also informal at the same time. So I would like to explain what I'm trying to say, that urban climate plan is a hologram. I got this from Stefan Helmreich, actually, that it can be two things or more, formal and informal, at the same time. This is actually part of a long, long, long history. So in 1939, the municipality of Stuttgart hired a meteorologist, Karl Schwab, and he was taught, you need to deal with the problem of air hygiene in Stuttgart and also take part in the civil protection, because it was during the war. Then they go to the rooftops and then spread the powder to cover the city center during the war so that it will not be attacked by the air raid from the Allies. But of course, it's failed. Why it's failed? Because there is radar. And then it's practically destroyed within a couple of days. So that was the story goes. But then the experiment gave birth to the empirical urban climatology. So Karl Schwab, from the top of a turm, from a tower, could see, oh, from where to where exactly the wind blows, where it stays, where it moves faster, where it moves slower, how the wind has an intersection with buildings, where it comes from, and so on and so forth. And then after that, this is in 1969, and then from 1970 to 1990, there are at least 4 infrared thermography flights. So suddenly, this appears in the 1980s, and this becomes a sort of tool that formalized the whole experiments of urban climatology that have been done before. These are the prototype of something called climatopes. So climatope in German urban climatology is the smallest representational unit in which the thermal behavior of this in this unit is assumed to be similar. And then this will be used together with the former thermal map and also the wind map and so on to produce recommendations. Which parts are need to be maintained, which part that can be redeveloped, and so on and so forth. It's called Planungshinweise, like the recommendation for planning. And then this is in 2007. So basically this the semi-valley plan that I mentioned in the beginning is something like this. It's the goal is to maintain the green areas that surround the hollow of the city center in this area. Now going back to my argument that the urban climate plan is something holographic, so it can be formal and informal at the same time. There are some interlocutors. There are Stuttgart and they talk about wind and air in Stuttgart like breathing. They are so passionate talking about wind and air. You can try. So this is like an everyday knowledge for many Stuttgarters.
I would like to tell the story of how this German knowledge that Indrawan talked about gets equivocated in Japan with feng shui upon its arrival in Japan. Using two vignettes from the archive and my fieldwork, I would like to tell the story of equivocations and negotiations of knowledge systems emerging at the point of encounter between German, Japanese, and Chinese scientists. Klima Atlas, or climate planning, and the climate knowledge from Stuttgart was exported in the 90s, everywhere in the world, but with the help of German researchers, it was Japan and Japanese scientists who pioneered climatic informed planning. So German urban climatological knowledge has been adopted in Japanese urban planning. Several cities, such as Kobe, Tokyo, Fukuoka, have produced their own climate maps, which informs planning recommendation maps, heat island countermeasures guidelines, and finally influences also master plans. But this German climate knowledge, as I will tell, gets entangled with feng shui, and as a result, different makings of feng shui emerge, and also urban ventilation or wind roads become also the territory of national identity negotiation. So, we're in 1999, Freiburg. Toshiaki Ichinose is a visiting scholar in Freiburg in the meteorological department. He writes a post for the Japanese National Institute for Environmental Studies website titled Days Immersed in the German Language. He writes, "What I would like to learn here is the German environmental symbiotic urban planning technology, especially urban thermal environmental control, represented by the wind path, Kazenomichi in Japanese. This might be called a Western feng shui. However, many of today's big cities in Asia, the birthplace of feng shui culture, face problems such as serious air pollution and rising temperature. I am conducting this overseas research, hoping that this feng shui can be applied to Asian megacities." In the same year, 1999, Toshiaki Ichinose writes a paper with Hans-Peter Tam, where they discuss the necessity of applying Luftleitbahnen, air channels, this air channel strategy in Japan, and the necessity to invent a Japanese-style wind path. In fact, scholars such as Ichinose saw the potentiality of enhancing wind ventilation in Japan using German knowledge. The paper I mentioned is the first time where the term Kazenomichi, wind roads, as a direct translation of Luftleitbahnen appears and is discussed broadly. When coining the term, he recalls again that in Asia, a knowledge system already observes the wind to create a livable environment based on urban planning and architecture, and this is feng shui. Before that time, the term Kazenomichi had just a poetic connotation and was very scarcely used. But since the 90s, Kazenomichi has been describing wind paths and more broadly also Japanese ventilation strategies. The term booms and now is frequently used in urban planning. Now we're in Japan, Fukuoka, 13 December 2022. I meet Wan Qing, a PhD student who works on wind corridors in China, paying attention to traditional knowledge, feng shui. She explains to me, feng shui is very important in our education in China. We need to read a lot of traditional books. It is very hard to understand. But to build wind corridors, now we also do analysis. And we use now the green source spaces theory. And this is a theory that comes from Germany. I quote Stuttgart, and she gets very lively all of a sudden. Yes, that city. I see that all my professors in China have studied in Stuttgart. So I want to do my postdoc there. I came to Japan because after Germany, Japan is the best place where to study wind corridors. So these two stories show the making of feng shuis, or different feng shuis, plural, through transnational frames. In the first case, the first story of Toshiaki Ichinose, feng shui serves as a reference point to name the German knowledge system. First, in order to grasp and name Klima Atlas, so Klima Atlas as a German feng shui, or a Western feng shui or a German feng shui. And then Ichinose renegotiates feng shui as an Asian theory to localize urban ventilation, knowledge acquired in Germany. So in conclusion, I argue that the feng shui, which emerged in the scientific transnational encounter in the 90s, could be acquired in the field of microclimatic adaptation as a concept that informants used to think other concepts with, amidst equivocations and national identity negotiation over the wind.
So back to the argument of urban climate plan as a hologram. So at the dinner with Stefan Hambrach, we're talking about hologram as something that is simultaneously present and diffracted. And then hologram in itself is a superimposition of wave fronts, creating a depth, a sense of three-dimensional. I would like to end with a bit of reflection on Bruno Latour's invitation to do landing. So this kind of reconnect or reconcile the land we live in and the line we live from, this kind of thing. So land in Stuttgart, they are restricted by the air. This climatological experiment stimulates deterrestrialization of thought. So to think not only about the terrestrial, but also the atmospheric. And in this case of Fukuoka, there's also the oceanic, actually.